From the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I read this passage beginning with the 8th verse. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There's a phrase at the beginning of this passage that's a bit overwhelming to me. And it's simply those few words, "Now you are light." See, I can live with the statement that rises out of 1 John that says, God is light. I understand that. That means that God shines with all goodness and righteousness and truth. In the same way, I can live with Jesus saying at one point, as it is recorded in the scripture, "I am the light of the world." That's right. Christ is the light of the world, because he's God with us. But when I hear Jesus say, "You are the light of the world," I get a little nervous. And here's the Apostle Paul writing in Ephesians, kind of jumping on that statement by saying here, "You are light." Okay, so who's the light? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Is it us? There's a story told of a little boy named Tommy who had a small part in a Sunday school pageant. He was simply to say the words of Jesus, "I am the light of the world." So when it came his turn, he stepped out from the crowd of other children up on the stage and couldn't remember his line. So he looked in desperation out of the audience, spotted his mother. Mothers are the saviors of life often. And she tried to certainly mouth and whisper his phrase, "I am the light of the world." And she repeated it, "I am the light of the world." So he would say that. And so Tommy boldly said, "My mother is the light of the world." All right, so who is the light of the world? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Is it Tommy's mother? Is it... Tommy's mother actually came pretty close. Because not only, according to Scripture, is Tommy's mother the light of the world, so are all of us. That's what Scripture is trying to say to us. And the light with which we shine, says this Bible section, consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. But wait a minute, that's the fruit of the Lord's light. How can it be the fruit of ours? Well, the answer is pretty simple, but powerful. In the sense that when Christ comes to reside in us by his Spirit, he comes with his light. He chases away the darkness out of our soul. We become light because we are in his light. We're a reflection of his light. and his qualities, and we're to live revealing that light. Because of God in us and his light in us, we shine with his qualities. And the first one mentioned here in Scripture is goodness. We are to shine with goodness. Goodness is a graciousness of spirit, a generosity of heart, a characteristic that not only seeks to do good, but to be good. It's an incarnational word. So it's telling us that more important than the deeds we do, perhaps, is the good character with which we do it. The way we do something is sometimes even more significant than what we do. If we do it with the light of God, if we do it with the love of God, if we do it with the graciousness of God, we're shining his light in the world as we do those things. You know, Matthew says in one portion of Scripture, "Let your light so shine before others, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You know, that was initially a confusing statement to me. You know, you listen to that and you say, okay, do good works before other people and they will glorify your Father. Why wouldn't they glorify me if I'm doing something good and they see me doing that? At one level, that doesn't make sense. But at the level we're discussing it here in Scripture, it does make sense, because if we do something with a graciousness that's beyond just normal humanity, if we do something lovingly in a way that's unique, then it points to a source that has given us that love, that has given us that graciousness, that has given us his light. It's the way we do it that can cause people to say, how is it that that person is so loving? Why is there such grace in the way that person does that thing? Where is the source of that? And people start pointing to, and perhaps ultimately giving glory to, the Father in heaven for that quality in us. It isn't just us. It's beyond us. But it's become us because we get swallowed up in all of that. It points to God. It's the beauty with which we do the work that makes our work special. A lot of people are mothers and grandmothers, but the way you are mothers and grandmothers sets you apart from a whole bunch of other people. A lot of us are fathers and grandfathers, but the way we are fathers and grandfathers speaks about whether or not God has touched our lives. We may be doing the same tasks as other people, but it's the way we do our task that causes people to notice. How did that person get filled with such grace, such forgiveness, such love? Because God's light is in us, and we are revealing that light. Let me go on a sidetrack here for a moment. I've been fascinated by the fact, and by the word that says, "Let your light so shine." It doesn't say, "Make your light so shine." Hey, crank up some light so it will shine. It's talking about something that exists within us that we're not merely to sell, but we're to reveal. Evangelism, I suggest to you, is not selling our product, Jesus. It is revealing the light of Jesus in our life. It is letting it shine. Jesus is not our product to sell. Actually, we're his product. We are made by him to be who we are in our faith. And that's a revelation of Christ. Well, that's what we're talking about here. This goodness comes from God. And the goodness with which we live our life points toward God. It's the way we live, not just living. A number of you know the name Arnold Palmer, great prophet of the Old Testament. just checking. For those of you who don't know who Arnold Palmer is or was, a great golfer. And there was something about the way he golfed that made him special. Not only was he a skilled golfer, there was a style with which he golfed. You know, he would get to that first tee and begin his 18 holes in some tournament, and he swung with a kind of a hitch in his swing, and then he hitched his pants up, and he stared at that course like an eagle after a prey, and he just went after that game. And he did it with that sort of courageous style, that challenging style, that marching forward style, that people just followed him. The fans of Arnold Palmer were called Arnie's Army. And his style recruited him. It wasn't just the fact that he played golf. It was the way he played golf. It wasn't just the fact that he was skillful at it. It was Arnie's style with which he took on the course. Well, in a little bit of a way, that's what God is telling us. Just not that you live. Everybody lives for a while. But it's the way you live. The way you take on life, the way you stare down the challenges with your eagle eye, knowing that God is with you, and then march forward. Goodness. For us, Christianity is to be done with goodness. You know, that our Christianity should reveal that sort of good fire in our soul, that we should shine with the courageous goodness that God has given us. Because that speaks of God's touch. And hopefully attracts people to our loving Lord. Well, the other word here is that we're to shine with righteousness. Righteousness is a right relationship with God and with others. That's what that word means. So the people of light are obviously the people who have a right relationship with God and with other people. So it all has to do with our relationships. There is a small church in Los Angeles whose congregation is filled with Estonian people, my nationality. And they have their Estonian services in the Estonian language. They're a group of Lutherans. That church was begun by an immigrant Estonian pastor who I met a number of years ago. At that time, a bit older than I, and we became friends. So this Presbyterian started to hang out with a Lutheran. I might as well make these confessions as I go along. And as he aged, he was challenged with infirmities within his body. And at one point it got so bad that he said to me one day, "Jack, could you preach for me a couple of weeks? I just don't feel strong enough." And I said, "I'd be glad to help, but is that allowed? I mean, is a Presbyterian really allowed to come into a Lutheran pulpit and preach?" And he said, "No, I've checked with the archbishop." Didn't even know they had an archbishop. And the archbishop said it was okay. And I said, as I have maybe said to you at some point, "You know that my Estonian language skills are really limited and they're clumsy. I'd have to preach in English." "Well, it's okay, Jack, because the congregation of people here in L.A., they've been in the country for some time, so they'll understand English. They prefer Estonian, you know, God's language." but it'll be okay if you preach in English. Will it insult them at all that someone born in Estonia can't speak Estonian? And that they know that I'm a Presbyterian. And he said to me, "What blood runs through your veins?" And I said, "It's pure Estonian blood." That's all the people care about. So they didn't care about my ordination. They didn't care about my theological education. They didn't care about my organizational affiliation. All they were concerned about is, what blood is in you, boy? And if it's Estonian blood, we'll listen to you forever. So ever since that time, and even after the time I did that pastor's memorial service, I've gone periodically to preach in their pulpit to help. It's all in the blood. That's what made the relationship. That's what makes righteousness. It's all in the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. Spiritually, the blood of Christ that flows through us because of Him. The relationship that we have with God is what makes us righteous. It's His righteousness wrapped around us. It's His flow of forgiveness that is within us that makes us righteous. It puts us in a right relationship with God, and it puts us in a right relationship with each other. It's the basis of this fellowship. Our righteousness. And then the Bible says that this fruit of the light consists not only in all goodness, righteousness, but also in truth. And it's referring here to not just merely an intellectual or propositional truth, but a truth that is lived out, an incarnational truth, a truth that breathes and lives and walks and cares and is embodied within us. It's speaks of a truth lived out with integrity, that we are who we say we are, a genuineness of personhood, that there's no hypocrisy, that we're the genuine article. We're people of truth. That means that when people bump up against us, they feel something genuine and real and nothing put on. And they can respect it and trust it. Not long ago, I read an article about Billy Graham. I had the opportunity to meet him and to chat with him briefly. Don't know him well, haven't had much time with him, but I enjoyed the couple of encounters I had with him. Once when he was visiting the Hollywood Presbyterian Church, and then on another occasion that we were together. And so I really understood, or at least I had a sense of why he was uniquely respected around the world. And that's what the article talked about. That there was something about Graham, you know, whether you are a follower of him or you care for him, you have to respect him because he was a man of integrity. He was who he claimed to be. And he wanted to live a genuine and true life before others. He gave off an aura of a person who could be trusted and had some wisdom. So that's why he was a counselor to several presidents and other leaders around the world. And that's why he was respected as much as he was. That reputation of integrity, of living out truth, didn't happen by accident. There was one point early in his ministry that he took his team that organized and led these major preaching events and stadiums and everything else, took his team to Modesto, California. Do you know where Modesto is? Oh, come on. Well, if you don't, it's 13 miles north of Turlock. And of course, we all know where Turlock is, my hometown. Never understood why he went to Modesto. I mean, all the spiritual people were in Turlock, 13 miles south. Why would he go there? But he did. He and his team went to Modesto, California. And it was there, as I read about him, that his team of people made a pact with one another. And there were several things that they agreed together to do. And these are the agreements. They agreed that they would never exaggerate the attendance at their crusade meetings, how many attended, because they didn't want to get into some ego evaluation of the numbers that came. They agreed to never criticize any other clergy people, even though they might be criticized by them. They said, we will never do this. They agreed to work under standards that would keep them from any kind of scandal. And they agreed to never take a percentage of the offering for their income, because some of the offerings would be quite big in those stadiums. And instead, take an agreed upon salary, like everybody else would. They just wanted to be genuine people of truth and integrity, to live out what they were preaching, what Billy was preaching in those days. They lived out truth. And that's what we're talking about here, just living out in a genuine fashion the faith we claim for Jesus Christ. We're called to that. We're called to shine with the light of truth. When God's Spirit is within us, His light is within us. And that light is to be revealed. Let your light shine, because it's the light of Christ. Just reveal what you have inside. That's the testimony of God. And if that light is in you, that light demands to shine. It stirs to be revealed. And if it's the light that God gave us, it's the light of goodness. It's a light of righteousness. It's a light of truth. Let it shine. Amen. Amen. Amen.